Dante Santi, who's a close friend of mine because he's dating Anissa, I think, as everybody knows. We were kind of laughing and talking about humorous stories. This morning, the message is called Forgiven and Restored. You can turn in your Bibles to John 21 or to the book of John. And so I have some friends who own a business, and they've been pretty successful. And so the dad and the mom retired a few years ago, and they turned it over to the son and the daughter to run the business. And so they, you know me as a pastor. And so they invited me without telling the dad is Richard. His name is Richard. And they didn't tell Richard that I was coming to help them to recommit their vows on their 50th anniversary. And so anyway, so their daughter got up and said, "Mom and Dad, we want to ask you to come up here to, you know, to the front." We were in the ballroom down at a restaurant in Kima. And so anyway, the daughter said, "Dad, you know Dennis Jameson is here, and you know what he does." And so her dad said, "Yeah, I know what Dennis Jameson does. He's a pastor. Don't tell me that we're going to get married again. Once is enough." And I don't know if Richard's wife needed to forgive him. Probably did after that statement. I don't know about the restoration. But then to make it worse, now they had this really nice boat that they had, you know, parked down there, right on that little channel at Kima. You know what I'm talking about? You've been down there. And so anyway, they were just going to take them out on a little ride and then bring them back, and then they were going to the hotel. Well, his daughter says right in the middle of all this, "Dad, don't forget to take your Viagra before you go to the hotel." So I don't know if that was an opportunity for Richard to get mad or to, you know, for him to forgive his family. Maybe it was. But this morning, I want to talk about forgiven and restored. And that is the heart of the gospel, isn't it, of Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven and we are restored in Christ. And we sang about that this morning. And there's some great pictures that we see along the way as we move from Jesus's resurrection until the time of his ascension and the Holy Spirit coming. And so I want to ask you to follow along or you can see it on the screen. John 21, we're going to read verses 4 through 17. We'll obviously focus on verses 15 through verses 17 as a key part of the text. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for the work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. It just sounds like Peter, doesn't it? The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. I don't know if y'all like fish for breakfast, but that was what was on the menu. And so fish cooking over a charcoal fire. Actually, that sounds pretty good on the beach, doesn't it? Kind of makes you hungry. And some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. And going on in verse 12, "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. And this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for this picture that you give us in Scripture of Jesus extending forgiveness and restoration to Peter in such a critical point in his life. Lord, we acknowledge that you've done that for us as well. I pray that you'd help us to never forget and be good stewards of the forgiveness and the restoration that we enjoy today, God. Help us, Lord, to help others. We bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, isn't it? Because Jesus, he doesn't ask Peter, "Are you sorry?" That's a question that people ask when they've been offended, that person. Are you sorry? He doesn't ask Peter to promise that he will never do that again. Now, how many of you as parents did that with your children? You said those very things. Your children are fighting, you know, and there's conflict going on. And so you say to them, you know, one of them hits the other one, and you say to him, "Tell him you're sorry, and you promise never to do that again." I mean, how many of you have said that to your kids? Yeah, I know we did. But that's not what Jesus did. I mean, and sometimes I think, you know, because we... And I'm not saying that's a bad pattern. I'm confessing we did it, you know. But Jesus is really going for something deeper than that, isn't he? And so Jesus is really, he brings Peter to a place of honesty instead of the boastful attitude that he had. Remember, I mean, Peter, you know, I mean, he had a lot of emotions, but I mean, obviously, you know, he, even the very night, the night of the Last Supper, he said that he would never deny Jesus. Well, when the time came, he did. Now, this morning, what I want to do is, I think this is it's such a great example for us of the forgiveness and the restoration that God offers to us in our lives. And when we go through, now how many of you know, and I know many of you as I look around the sanctuary this morning, knowing that probably many of you have experienced things where you got offended, you got hurt, I mean significant things, and you wanted to, you know, it was hard to overcome those things, but you did. But I want to say to you, and I think you know this is true, over the years I have been surprised by this, that how many Christians consider themselves to be mature and to be very spiritual and be loving people that struggle to practice this. And where this happens is not just, I mean, it might, you know, happen with somebody that you don't know, but it happens in the church. I mean, it happens in the Christian community at large, and it happens in our family. It happens many times with the people that we love the most. And sometimes that's the hardest to really overcome. Now the meeting on the shore, it wasn't set up by Peter and the disciples that were there. And I think the total number of disciples were actually 7. So it's good. And maybe they went there to try to encourage Peter. I don't know. But Jesus is the one who makes the move. Now, we have to understand something. We see it in Scripture. This restoration and this exchange that takes place with Jesus and Peter, it was a very challenging thing for Peter. Why? Because obviously the denial was very public. And so Jesus, in his wisdom, is extending forgiveness and restoration publicly. Now this is not always the way that this type of thing should happen. But in this case, because remember, there had to be a cloud of suspicion, you know, that was going on, you know, around Peter. And so it was necessary that this take place. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39. If you remember that's That's the night that Jesus was arrested. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so he has, actually Peter is out there, and he's wrestling with the whole thing of him giving himself to be the sacrifice for the sin of the world. I mean, he is wrestling. Look at verse 39. It says this as he's in the garden, and he kind of separates himself from the other, from the disciples that were there. It says, he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me." And then listen to what he says, "Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And my point with that scripture is that Jesus is clearly demonstrating that his suffering on the cross was an agonizing choice, but he yielded to God's will. Now, Peter had to come face to face with the challenge of yielding to God's will as he comes face to face with Jesus. And actually, they saw one another on the day that Jesus was resurrected. We don't know what was said, what they talked about or whatever. But this, for Peter to experience Jesus's forgiveness and restoration was something that he had to face. Now, I want to touch on what forgiveness is not first, okay? And I think this is really some good stuff. And part of this really came from our time in the Kairos ministry that we went through. Kat and I did a few years ago. Forgiveness is not denial. Now, how many of you have ever, you see that in people that many times that what they believe, forgiveness is, it's just denial. It's just pretending everything is okay. Let's kind of sweep this under the rug. Let's go get a pizza, a couple of soft drinks, and let's just, let's talk about old times and everything's okay. That's not forgiveness. Repression being burying the hurt caused by sin. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody. I don't know if you've ever done that yourself, or you've been hurt and you think, "I'm just going to stuff this down. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to stuff it down as hard as I can." That's not forgiveness. Let's do that all together, okay? Because y'all look, okay? Put your hands like this, all right? All right, and just go, okay. Do you feel better?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. How about excusing? Well, I mean, Peter, he just did what everyone would do in that circumstance. You ever hear that? I mean, sometimes we're afraid to really deal with forgiveness, because we know that, maybe we wouldn't have done so well ourselves in that circumstance. It's okay. I think all those planes that are flying over are friendly, okay? The beautiful picture in this is that God did not deny that we were born into sin and that we needed to experience his forgiveness and his restoration. And we have to offer the same things, that same thing to those who offend us. Isn't that right? And sometimes I want to say, and it grieves me over the years, and maybe it's not just because I've pastored now, for these many years, but it's just being a part of the church, and I grieve because I have seen people so easily walk away on both sides of offense. And Ephesians 4, verse 32, I think is such a beautiful promise of what we experience and what we're to do. It says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Think about that. We're motivated to forgive others because God has forgiven us. Now look, I want to say it, and I know many of you are mature believers, and you could give testimonies of all this. But the thing I'm seeing, we've been We've been just recently, we've been gathering for a number of weeks to have a married couples class. And we've had a number of couples that have come from outside the church. Some of them, even as they talk about their marriages, and they're talking about being hurt by other Christians. Now, you know, whether that's real or an excuse for, moving away from God. But there's a lot of hurt out there. And there's a lot of people that won't come back to the church right now because they're hurt. And because maybe they have been mishandled. I mean, sometimes remember that, how many of you have ever offended somebody? I mean, you understand? I mean, and that process, whether you were the one that offended somebody or you were offended, listen, the enemy works that. He knows how to work that. And I want to say something to you why this is important, because unforgiveness is a door that's open to the enemy, and we cannot forget that. That's why we pray for our family members sometimes, so much. And many of you may be peacemakers and it's good to be a peacemaker. But the Holy Spirit is the one who brings forgiveness and restoration into people's lives. And so we need to, sometimes you can try to make something happen as a peacemaker because you want two people to be together. You want them to be forgiven and restored. And so you're out there and you're working this thing, but it's not the right time. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit is so important. Let's go to number two, acknowledge and verbalize your true thoughts and feelings to the Lord. That's important. That's why you don't want to stuff it down. You want to communicate, and I know it's hard. And look, I'm not pretending that when you get hurt that you can just all of a sudden, experience forgiveness and restoration or extend it to the person that's hurt you. I mean, look at Peter. Peter was sure. He was sure that he would never deny knowing Jesus. I mean, he boasted. Remember, this is the guy that boasted, in front of the other disciples and to Jesus, I love you more than these that are with us. Now, sometimes I've heard in families, that children will say to parents, well, you love my brother more than you love me. Maybe you've been in a situation, I don't know, where somebody elevated themselves and you found it offensive. You found it hurtful. Well, that's what Peter did. And so Jesus, in the three different questions about Peter's love, what is he doing? He's bringing him to a place of honest humility. Because that's something that at times Peter lacked. I mean, he gets rid of his pride and he allows Jesus to extend forgiveness and restoration to him. And at the end, Peter's response is really important because he says, rather than saying, Lord, I love you. I'll never deny you. I love you more than the other disciples. He says this with humility, Lord, you know everything. You see what I'm saying? He was saying, Jesus, in your heart, I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to be proud. You know what is true. You know that I love you. See, he came to a place of humility that he had not shown before. So important in this, that we acknowledge, verbalize the true feelings that you have. And listen, speak that to the Lord. That's the place. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That's important. Because many people don't turn to the Lord, right? They turn somewhere else. But when we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Listen, verse 17, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes. We sing that song, right? But sometimes we don't practice that. And so Peter would experience spiritual freedom as he turned to the Lord. Now, that brings us to the third point of this message that we see in this exchange between Jesus and Peter, and it's this, that forgiveness means that we relinquish the right to punish. Let me say that again. Forgiveness means that we relinquish the right to punish. Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15 says, "For you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." See, your sinful nature says, "Hey, I want to get even with that person that offended me. I have the right to punish them. They hurt me." Well, you may feel that, and that's something that you can confess. But let's read on. It says, "But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." And verse 15, very key, "But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out." That's a strong caution, isn't it? Richard and Bonnie, y'all don't mind if I share something we talked about yesterday, do you? Thank you. Okay, appreciate that. We were talking about people being hurt, and so just recently, both Richard and I went to the dermatologist to have some little skin cancer places, trimmed off, and Bonnie was talking about, the scenario where that how fast that certain types of cancer, under the skin can grow. See, unforgiveness is like a cancer. Yep. And look, I had a friend, he went, he came to a meeting after going to the dermatologist the day before, and he came in, and so he just went to have a couple of little, what they call skin tags cut off. The dermatologist found 13 on his face, so he came in. He looked like one of the, like a raisin bagel or something like that. He had all these places. And it's hard. And, Bonnie was talking about, one of her family members or someone had, actually had almost half of a golf ball size thing that was cut out. Well, see, that's what unforgiveness is. It can grow fast, and it can do, so much damage. Now, remember verse 15, "But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out." We're not told that the disciples confronted Peter, or, maybe there were some conversations that went on, but it's very reasonable that there would have been a cloud of suspicion. There would have been questions. There would have been concern. Now, let me use a little bit of humor. How many of y'all go fishing? And you know that even with the state laws, or if you fish some of the local places, there's what they call catch and release. Anybody familiar with that? Yeah, Jim is. Some of us that do. Okay. So, how many of y'all have just caught a fish before? Oh, that's great. How many of y'all caught a lot of fish? Okay. Yeah, that's good. I know y'all have, because y'all fished a lot. What does a fish look like when it's hooked? Right? Kind of hard. And if it's one of those, what's that, a treble hook? I know this doesn't look good. You can see our young art. Now, you see, some of y'all look like, "What are you doing, Pastor Dennis?" See, one of the ways that we punish people is by talking about what's happening. And negative talk can be like attractive bait to a fish. It hooks people. I mistreat Kata and you see it. Andrew sees it. So, Andrew, just stick your finger in your mouth, would you? Like this, you mind? Okay.
It's just my hook.
He tells Ashley. Ashley tells Dan Williams. "Dan, can you put your finger in your mouth?" Dan tells Mary Sue. Mary Sue? Mary Sue tells Ruth. And Ruth tells Sean. And Sean tells Diana and tells Gary. Now, would y'all just stand there with it? Come on, just help me. It's an illustration. I turn around, look, okay? Just kind of see, here we are. They're all hooked. Because Andrew decided he saw something. And he did. Y'all sit down. Thank y'all so much. Appreciate it. Nice dental work, by the way, too. I know that's a silly thing, but it's a picture of what the enemy does. And we get hooked. I mean, I've been amazed over the years that I thought stuff was confidential. Somebody came to me, you know, and said, you know, I'm having this struggle, and I just want to come tell you, and would you pray for me? And then pray for them and say, hey, you know, keep it confidential and go to that person. You know, I don't usually get involved unless there's something that I see that's going to do harm to the church. I encourage believers to work out their differences together. And the next thing I know, I'm getting a call from somebody. Did you hear, Pastor Dennis, that so-and-so are offended with one another? I'm like, how did you hear that? Oh, well, you know, somebody in the church told me about it. Who? Oh, you know, I wouldn't want to disclose that. Listen. That's gossip, y'all. It's gossip. Now, I know none of y'all do that. And at least we don't mean to. We're just going to talk about it so we can pray for them, right? I mean, we do. Sometimes Christians will punish the person that's been offended as they talk to other people about their offense. I can forgive you, they say, but I can't forget, so I'm just going to keep talking. Here's another way that Christians punish one another. I will punish you by isolating myself from you. I saw this and as a child. My dad's mom, Granny Jameson, you know, she was a believer, but she had some unusual ways. And she got mad at my mom and my sister. And so she told my mom, my sister, Duncan, you're not coming to my house. But she asked if she could see me. And I'm grateful for my mom and my dad because my mom would drive me over to my grandmother's house during those several months so that my grandmother could see me and visit with me as a child. And then she would come back and pick me up. And you know what that did in me? It determined I don't want to live that way. And as I grew and given my heart to the Lord, I don't want to live that way. And so if people offend me, I don't want to talk about it except to the Lord and to them. And I don't want to isolate myself. And look, there are times that we need to pray, and there's the right time, as I said. But you understand, I've seen it too many times, and it grieves me. I've seen people that were in Christ Covenant Church, I remember, who said, you know, I'm offended by this, or I've offended somebody, and I'm just going to leave, and I'm going to go to some other church, or I'm not going to go to church anymore. That happens too many times, y'all. It happens. And I'm saying this to be an encouragement to us, because I think many of us are in contact with Christians that are practicing that, and they're hurting. They're hurting themselves. It's not the kind of forgiveness that Jesus extends. It's not biblical forgiveness to do those things. I mean, the freedom that you experience through Jesus' forgiveness connects you to God's gracious heart. It connects you to God's gracious heart. You choose to close that door to the enemy. Remember, we said that unforgiveness is an open door to the enemy. So when you allow God's forgiveness to work in your heart and in the person's heart, you're closing the door to the enemy. And listen, this is so key. Listen to this. When you release your offender, you liberate yourself. I mean, it's like, Greg, stand up with me. And I know this is very, but look, here's what offense does. Grab my arms. It's like this. We're locked in a struggle, see? And so I need to release Greg so I can be released. Yep. Is that right? Yep. Here's what, and this is the last thing that we see that I want to highlight in our message this morning, that we see in Peter's life, and that is, allow God's word to determine your behavior. Allow God's word to determine your behavior. We've already talked about the Holy Spirit being at work. And remember that spiritual transformation comes three ways: by the power of God's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by committed relationships. In other words, Christians practicing and allowing God's word to determine our behavior. And the great thing about this is Peter did that. He allowed God's word to determine his behavior in the future. But so did the other disciples who witnessed Jesus forgiving and restoring Peter, because as Jesus returned to be with his heavenly Father, Peter stepped into the leadership role of the apostles. Remember that? I mean, and he became that bold leader in the early Christian church that Jesus said that he would be. I mean, he demonstrated great courage and never denied Jesus again. And it's believed that Peter died really at the hands of Nero in Rome as a martyr, you know, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what a powerful picture of a man who failed miserably. And many people may have thought that they've been in his place, that he would have somehow lost his salvation. And yet God's forgiveness and his restoration restored him to a place that he influenced us. We're here today partly because of what Peter did by the power of the Holy Spirit and by God's word. It's a powerful picture. Now let me just close with a scripture and just some closing thoughts as we move to ministry time. Psalm 119, verses 89 through verse 93. Say, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. Your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans. If your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. You know that Peter would have died in his misery if he hadn't experienced Jesus' forgiveness and restoration. And then verse 93, I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. Scott, can you give us just a little bit of music for a minute or so? I want to ask you, if you would, just to approach the Lord's presence prayerfully. And I want to just close with this, and then we'll pray. And then I want to invite you to come for ministry this morning. Now, here's three thoughts that I want to just ask you to consider. I want to ask you to consider if you need to repent of any resentment, unforgiveness, anger, or bitterness towards the person that maybe has offended you, even if it was a long time ago. Ask the Holy Spirit for His healing presence to come and heal the hurts and the wounds of your past, and receive the healing love of the Lord in your heart. Father, I pray for any person here that has never experienced forgiveness and restoration that you extend to them personally. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to them. Father, I pray for people that may be here today that have gone through something, or maybe they're going through something right now, Lord, where resentment, anger, frustration, unforgiveness, Lord, are building up in their lives, God. I pray, Lord, for those of us that have friends and family member and people that we're close to that are struggling, Lord, to release somebody or something that happened. Lord, maybe they're angry at you. So I pray that you would help us to be peacemakers, but Lord, discerning the Holy Spirit, not trying to get ahead of your time, but Lord, to listen to what you would say. As Lord, we try to be an encouragement, Lord, for people to experience your forgiveness and your restoration. We bless you and we thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen.